And that's where we are now. That's the blank check syndrome.
Our 2021 budget proposal will include an increase of $135 million in operating funds for the T.
Our budget totals $6.3 billion.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode, the governors of New York, Massachusetts, and Vermont discuss their plans for the year. We'll get right to it. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo released a $178.6 billion budget proposal on Tuesday. He detailed plans to deal with the $6 billion budget deficit, largely caused by increased costs for Medicaid, as well as plans to legalize the adult recreational use of cannabis in New York. Our Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt has more.
The costs of Medicaid have been rising, partly due to more people receiving health care through the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, and increases in the state's minimum wage, which has led to higher labor costs. Governor Cuomo, in his budget speech, focused on rising costs in the Medicaid programs administered by local county governments, who pay a share of the program. Since 2013, though, the state has paid for all cost increases incurred by the counties, as well as the city of New York's Medicaid programs. Cuomo says because the state pays for the cost overruns, which he says run in the billions of dollars, the local governments don't have the incentive to hold the line on costs.
You have no incentive at efficiency or economy of scale, or to call up and say, I think this is a problem or this is a problem, because someone else is paying the check. And that's where we are now. That's the blank check syndrome.
Cuomo says the state will continue to cap the county government's Medicaid costs, but he says there will be new conditions on that help. He says counties must stay within the state's 2% per year property tax cap, and they must not increase their year-to-year spending on Medicaid by over 3%, or the state will no longer help them with the extra costs. He says if counties can limit that growth, he'll reward them by allowing them to keep a portion of any savings incurred. The governor says he will reconvene a Medicaid redesign commission to trim $2.5 billion out of the Medicaid budget, but he says the cuts will not have an impact on Medicaid patients, and overall, he still plans to increase health care spending by 3%. Bill Hammond, healthcare policy analyst with the conservative-leaning fiscal watchdog group, the Empire Center, says the factors leading to the Medicaid overspending are not really the fault of local governments.
Local governments did not cause the rise in Medicaid costs, penalizing them or giving them skin in the game is not an effective way of reducing costs.
Counties responded cautiously, saying in a statement that they are willing to help the governor achieve his goals. Cuomo also wants to increase school aid spending by 3%, or around $826 million more. The governor continues to say that simply adding more money alone is not the answer, and he says he wants to target more of the existing aid to the state's poorest schools. He predicts it will cause a political battle, though, between richer districts and poorer districts.
We need the guts to do it on education. The current formula is designed to achieve political needs, not equity.
Cuomo says he still plans on staying within his self-imposed 2% spending cap because he plans to limit spending in the rest of the budget to 1% or less. The governor did not propose any major new revenues to help close the deficit. A financial analysis by his budget office predicts that increases in existing tax revenues will also help close the gap. One plan that could bring in $300 million in additional revenue when fully implemented is the proposed legalization of adult recreational use of marijuana. The governor proposes a 20% tax on retail sales of the drug, along with a wholesale tax of $1 per gram of cannabis flower. Democratic legislative leaders also responded cautiously to the governor's plan. Senate leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says she does not want all the health care decisions, though, left to a commission.
There's no way that we won't be involved because it's extremely important, obviously.
Cuomo also made a case for another pay raise for lawmakers. The second phase of a planned raise has been delayed because a related requirement that lawmakers also forego most outside income was thrown out in court. The governor says he'd support the next phases of the pay increase if lawmakers agree to release their tax returns. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Western Massachusetts lawmakers are reacting to Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker's State of the Commonwealth address on Tuesday. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes reports.
Mr. Speaker, Madam President, members of the House and Senate,
Congressman Neal, Mayor Walsh, Ambassador Flynn, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
The second-term Republican made his remarks on Beacon Hill before legislators and dignitaries. Baker presented a glowing review of life in Massachusetts under his leadership.
Our economy is booming, our unemployment rate is below 3%, and we have more people working than any time in our history. Strong fiscal management and a robust economy have resulted in back-to-back billion-dollar budget surpluses, which we collectively use to double down on our rainy day fund. Today, that fund balance stands at $3.5 billion, its highest level ever by a wide margin. Congratulations.
Baker touched on a topic many in Western Massachusetts were eager to hear about, transportation.
We filed an $18 billion transportation bond bill last year, the largest ever. $11 billion will be invested in road and bridge improvements, with another $7 billion for additional expansion and modernization of transit, commuter rail, and bus service. Our 2021 budget proposal will include an increase of $135 million in operating funds for the T.
One veteran Berkshire legislator was there for his 18th consecutive State of the Commonwealth. Democratic 4th Berkshire District State Representative Smitty Pignatelli.
I was very excited about this very aggressive plan on roads and bridges and culverts. That will have a very positive effect and impact on Western Massachusetts. But I believe he spent way too much time talking about the MBTA in Boston without talking about public transit throughout the rest of the state, which is a serious problem in the Berkshires, as you know as well.
Fellow Democratic Representative Paul Mark of the 2nd Berkshire District was also disappointed about that.
I didn't hear a word about the Valley Flyer. I didn't hear a word about the upcoming Berkshire Flyer. I didn't hear anything about East-West Rail, nothing like that. So that's an area where, as legislators, we're going to have to try to make sure that we're having the voices of the people we represent heard instead of just a Boston focus, which is normal, I think, for just about any governor.
Democratic State Senator Adam Hines of the Berkshire, Hampshire, Franklin, and Hamden District, the chief champion of the Berkshire Flyer Project, also expressed disappointment, but said he was heartened by Baker's plans to reduce carbon emissions.
Going to net zero by 2050, committing the state to that. We're in the Senate. In fact, later this week, we'll be releasing an omnibus climate bill that will include the same. And so we seem to be on the same page, and that is very encouraging.
Both Mark and Hines say they also wanted to hear Baker address more about higher ed in the state. When it comes to funding new transportation spending, Pignatelli says that there has been talk of a gas tax. He says he's long been an advocate for a local version of the tax that would keep all of its proceeds within the community generating it.
The MBTA is serious, but when you think about the one penny on the sales tax currently goes directly to the MBTA, and they're still a disaster. That means about $30 to $35 million from the sales tax generated in Berkshire County goes directly to the MBTA. So I've been advocating for, and Representative Barrett especially, let us keep that money. Let us keep it locally. We can solve a lot of our transportation issues if we're allowed to keep the money that we generate ourselves.
Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landis.
Vermont Governor Phil Scott delivered his budget address this week, too, emphasizing familiar themes of fiscal discipline and the need to address Vermont's demographic changes. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley reports.
The Republican governor has consistently called for fiscal responsibility to assure that government spending does not exceed Vermonters' ability to pay. In his fourth budget address, Scott again called for a balanced budget and fiscal discipline.
It's my belief the state budget should not grow any faster than people's paychecks. Our goal should be to do our work in ways that help Vermonters keep more of what they earn, making it easier, not harder, for every family to live a secure and stable life.
Scott provided a quick overview of the budget numbers.
In the upcoming fiscal year, across all funds, our budget totals $6.3 billion, with $4.2 billion of state revenue and $2.1 billion in federal dollars. This is an increase of about 2% over the current year.
The governor broke down his fiscal plan further in the three key budget areas. His transportation budget does not raise additional taxes or fees. The $276.7 million in state funds leverages $335.6 million in federal funds. Scott said that translates to a 4% increase over this year, or $25.5 million, and is the largest transportation budget since Tropical Storm Irene recovery in 2011. A 5% or $87 million increase in spending is projected in the $1.8 billion education fund.
Unfortunately, we're seeing spending, property taxes, as well as inequity, continue to increase while educational opportunities, student performance, and the number of kids continue to decrease.
Scott added that his general fund budget spends $1.7 billion, an increase of $46 million, or 2.8%.
Here's the frustrating part. Even with organic revenue growth, we still started building our budget with a $70 million gap. And even with consistent revenue growth, each year we've had to make difficult decisions with reductions to agencies, departments, programs, and services.
Scott says the critical factor in the state's fiscal challenges is demographics. He cited a December report from the Tax Structure Commission finding that Burlington-Chittenden County is the only area of the state that is likely to grow.
Our demographic crisis is without question the greatest challenge we face as a state. Confronting this crisis is the only way we'll be able to address other critical needs, whether it's human services, public safety, transportation, or climate change and transitioning to a clean energy economy. Addressing this reality is crucial to Vermont's future. We can fix it. If we work together to face this challenge head on, then our businesses and economy will grow, putting more kids in our schools, broadening our tax base, and making our communities stronger and more resilient than ever before.
There were no disruptions during Governor Scott's budget speech. 2 weeks ago, his State of the State was interrupted by climate activists who forced a recess before he could continue his address. Audio is courtesy of the live Statehouse web stream provided by Vermont Public Radio. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest episodes. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.